You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The shock jock figure is well known. A media personality will deliberately stir up controversy, creating a cycle of reactions from other parts of the media. John Banks, Sean Plunkett, Piers Morgan are examples of these types of figures and have all recently left or been forced off their platforms. This has led to questions over their value and whether their offensive comments should be allowed in the mainstream. I spoke to Dr. Olivier Hutel, a lecturer in media from the University of Otago. We discussed the way controversial media figures create cycle after cycle of news, the potential this has in creating polarization, and the ever-increasing role of social media in politicians' images. I started by asking whether the way shock jock figures are viewed is changing. So to start, there are a couple of recent examples of controversial figures leaving or being forced off their platforms, like John Banks, Sean Plunkett, or overseas, Piers Morgan. Do you think the way these sort of shock jock figures are viewed is changing?
Well, I think there are certainly instances where these sorts of big figures are subject to the meta discourse that dominates how media is consumed right now. So if Sean Plunkett, John Banks, Piers Morgan, whoever it is, makes off-color, racist, misogynist, you name it kind of comment, there's this other sort of like meta discourse that is like forged in online spaces that forces media brands to react, either figure out if they're like, okay, are they Fox News? Do they want some pretense to being, you know, mainstream broadcasters that can be in the background in any sort of social context? And I think what's happening is that there's a lot of sharpening of kind of media brand identities around politics, right? And there's less and less, I think, a space for the kind of, there's less of a kind of center sort of middle ground in media right now. And that's not to say that the left is well represented in contemporary media, but we have a mainstream media that does absolutely want to blunt the edges of misogyny, sexism, all forms of discrimination in our public discourse. Of course, that's a positive thing, but that doesn't mean that your Plunketts and your Banks and your Morganses aren't going to end up in some sort of like, I don't know, new right-wing media entity where they kind of celebrate they're triggering the libs and railing against PC culture and the rest.
In the UK, the day after the infamous Harry and Meghan interview, Good Morning Britain set record numbers as millions tuned in to hear Piers Morgan with his predictably controversial take. Is there any way media companies can avoid promoting these sort of controversial figures, given they are so successful in terms of numbers and ratings?
I mean, you've nailed it there. Like, this is the design. I mean, we inhabit a kind of constant mediatized sort of existence, to the extent that if you have the illness of social media as part of your life and part of your identity, we are constantly positioning ourselves and our values in relation to this kind of discourse. So the value of a Piers Morgan outburst I think it's ITV, is the several cycles of, like, whether it's the outrage, the apology, the provocation, et cetera, et cetera. So we're just kind of, we're wrapped into this discourse about discourse. And, I mean, Piers Morgan is not a journalist. He is not doing anything of particular sort of like notes or value to like our understanding of social issues. He's just the kind of bloviator. And here we are, we have to talk about it. It's sort of like, I mean, obviously I'm in media studies, so, you know, this stuff matters. It's important, but it's almost like we're kind of absorbed into this spectacle of like, one must have an opinion at all times and one must constantly sort of attack and position ourselves to this kind of stream of discourse. And so that's by design. That's the heat. That's the kind of, that's the outrage. That's why it works for Mike Hosking. you know, Tove O'Brien is a completely different journalist who does some very good work, but she's also sort of good at sort of injecting herself as a kind of subject to be talked about, either to be praised or to be slammed. That's sort of the, you know, the game and the economics of being a media personality right now. And I guess in the case of Morgan, you know, he's crossed some line. These lines can be rather arbitrary at times, I suppose, and you might just bite off more than you can chew. But we're talking about a guy who is an editor of a newspaper that hacked the phone of a dead teen. I mean, like, you know, he's been a bottom feeder for a long time.
And I know just before you said you hate talking about Mike Hosking, but I do want to ask you about
No,
Mike
I've already, Hosking, I brought him up. Shame on me.
I was also interested in Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's recent change to her interview schedule, which has meant she'll no longer speak regularly to Mike Hosking. Is it important in a democracy for politicians to speak to challenging interviewers like Hosking is to Ardern?
One of the things that Jacinda Ardern has done successfully, and conservatives sort of criticize her about this, but I think they have a point. I'm not of that side, but like, she's done a really good job in accumulating a lot of, or garnering lots of media attention for good political performances in some arenas from sort of more international, quote unquote, liberal media, Time Magazine, The Guardian, lots of humanitarian awards. And there was this activist award that was, I think that was an interesting one, where in a sense, Jacinda Ardern has a kind of international, you know, star power, if you will. That means she's possibly less interested in courting the Hosking constituency, which is has become this incredibly hostile sort of platform. And she's not really a Winston Peters type. I mean, Winston Peters loved rolling up his sleeves and doing the kind of combative style of railing against the media, and that's something he can do as a small party politician, and that is not her style. She's very post-political in that sense. You know, part of the compassion and kindness, you know, sort of political brand and identity is about, you know, de-escalating, depoliticizing, and garnering this sort of trust through who she is as a person. And yes, that is an important sort of message, but it's one that's, yeah, doesn't necessarily want to bring this back into the realm of sort of hard political identity and like programmatic policy-driven conversations. So I think this is sort of like an inevitable result of these broader media tendencies. And if we're trusting like Mike Hosking to be like a vital component of our sort of like democratic deliberative media processes, then something in our media is actually quite broken.
One final question. One of the reasons I've seen offered for why Ardern can sort of afford to change around her schedule, why she doesn't have to talk to Hosking and his audience, is that she has a huge reach on social media, which I think you sort of alluded to before. Do you think social media, with its ability to communicate directly to an audience, may be replacing conventional media platforms? And could this mean politicians will be less held to account?
I worry really seriously about this. One, because I think the actual social media companies themselves love this idea that they are the public sphere. And I mean, I guess they are. I mean, whatever. Like, maybe we just wave the flag of surrender. But that's actually a really terrifying prospect, frankly. Obviously, politicians have always been brands. Politicians have always appealed to emotions. But I like to think of like social media as sort of like this sort of emotional affective membrane with which we choose to sort of like navigate our world. And to the extent that politicians enter into that, this is not that kind of traditional sort of notion of democratic discursive deliberation around political ideology, political policy, or anything else. I mean, to cut to the you know, the main takeaway here, this is why we are seeing, you know, people getting prayer candles of their favorite politicians. They're, you know, it and sort of conflating their relationship to politicians as being like analogous to their relationship to like Beyonce or something, right? This is a mediation of our social lives that is totally driven by brand, affect, and some of the logics that I guess cut against what a good functioning democracy would be. And I think this bigger question of, yes, social media becoming the public sphere is that we stop thinking or understanding about what it means for these platforms to be doing that and what power relationships are being changed or obfuscated by virtue of this.
That was Dr. Olivier Yutel, lecturer in media at the University of Otago, on the role of controversial figures in today's media.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.